Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Good morning, everyone. Too late to welcome you all here this morning, and especially the visitors that are in our midst this morning. May you have a blessed time fellowshipping with us this morning. Thank you, Ken and Dennis, for opening up this morning, and the song leaders and the pianist for being with us this morning and for getting us started. And what I'd like to do this morning is just read a few portions of Scripture in the way of thanksgiving. And then we don't do this very often, but I want to open the floor for sharing. What are you thankful for? Because we do have such a beautiful year this year and such a beautiful fall this year, and we've had a good harvest as well this year, so compared to last year at least. And also, those of you who are following the ministerial list very closely, you thought Pastor Brian was to be here this morning, and I traded with him a few weeks ago when I was supposed to be here. He was here, and today I am here, so that's why I am here. And that's why the bulletin is wrong this morning, too. And it's my fault I didn't inform the Bolton people, so sorry about that. We'll try to remember that for next time. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in word of the truth of the gospel. Drop down to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You go to chapter 2 of Colossians, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And let's go to the Psalms, and the Psalms are loaded with thanks and praise and so forth, and we cannot miss out on the Psalms this morning. The Psalms 100 for the first one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people of the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And we'll back up a little bit more to chapter 40, or Psalms 40. We'll do the first five verses. And I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and I heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Yes, what the Lord has done for us, we cannot number that. That's more than we can number. Well, I'll share my thoughts with you this morning in the Word of God, and we look at the word thank you. The word thank you is on the lips of most people. on Christians particularly, even on religious people, even on secular people, we hear the word thank you. And there's always those who find it hard to express their kindness and so forth with thank you. And there's those that who use the word thank you just for merely being polite or just the way of gesture and acknowledging. But thankfulness, what does it really mean to us individually when we express thankfulness? How do we really look at thankfulness, and how do we really express thankfulness? As I thought this through, I came up with the thoughts, and when I look at my own heart, when I say thank you, is it mainly because that is expected of me to say thank you? Whether I'm in public or whether I'm just in our own household, whether it's just me and Marge in the house, am I just doing this because that's what I expected? Thankfulness is a feeling that should come from deep down in our heart. It should be a soul-motivated thing to say thank you. It should come from our most inner being. And it comes from within. When we're truly thankful, it comes within. And God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, will motivate us to that end, to utter the words from our lips of thank you. Thankfulness, or thank you, is a deep down gratification or appreciation, blessings that we have received from the hand of God, and so often also from fellow man, from brothers and sisters and friends. See, as Luke 6:45 expresses, it says very clearly what the heart is full of, or what comes out of the heart, is from within the man. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So when we're filled with gratitude and thankfulness and appreciation, what will come out of our heart? It will be thank you. It will be appreciation and so forth. So really, our heart determines what we're going to be saying and how we're going to be saying it. When we have and see God's goodness, as we have in how many years already, we've seen God's goodness for many, many years in this land, in this country, it should cause our hearts to speak of praise and thanks to God. We should also be thanking fellow men, brothers and sisters, or whomever we meet. But then we also have the other side. And I believe we have all crossed paths with people here and there. When you start dialoguing with them, having a discussion with them, it doesn't take long. You know their life history, and you know all their shortcomings and their failures. But if we go back to Psalm 40, where we were earlier, how does the psalmist express himself there? In Psalm 40, he first of all, what he sees is what God has saved him from. The psalmist is talking about that God heard his cry. That's what he says in verse 1. Verse 2, he says, he brought me also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I think that's something to really be praising God for. That he's brought me out of a horrible pit. We heard that last Sunday night from one of the testimonies that Abe did, the horrible place he was in, the darkness that he was living in, and that God helped him out of that miry clay, and that his feet now are set upon the rock and upon the salvation of Jesus Christ, and God was establishing him in his path and where he was going. The psalmist further says, he has set a new song in my heart, or in my mouth, even praise unto God. I think that's something that each one of us that are here this morning, young and old, if you have been set upon a solid rock, you've been pulled out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay, that you have a new song in your heart, that you're praising God for that, and that you will respect and trust the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then he gives us that wonderful promise in verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed are you, blessed am I, when I trust in the Lord. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. The Lord God's works are wonderful works which he hath done, and his thoughts to usward. To think that God had so much love for his mankind, as we when we read John 3:16, that not a soul should go lost. How wonderful are his works toward us. And it says it cannot be reckoned in order unto him. If we would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God's wonderful thoughts toward us, how he feels about us, are more than he can be numbered. How much do we need to thank our God for that? So how often should we be thanking our God? Psalm 119, 164 tells us, 7 times a day do I praise thee because thy righteous judgments. He says 7 times a day. And Daniel, in chapter 6, verse 10, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So we have one saying here, 7 times a day, another saying 3 times a day. And Luke chapter 18, what did Jesus say in Luke 18:1? He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. And Paul, in his letters, expounds on this as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, which are familiar verses to us, rejoice evermore in verse 16 and 17. What does he say? Pray without ceasing. In verse 18, he says what? In everything, give thanks, for this is will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I want you to remember this morning, it doesn't say for everything, but in everything, give thanks. It doesn't matter what journey we are on, what challenges we've been facing. But in times of difficulty, in times of challenges, in times of struggles, in times of health issues, in those times even, we can be thanking and praising our God. And God will hear us. And that is so important that we remember that in everything. And some say for everything. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what my Bible says. It says in everything. But I also found it very interesting, going all the way back to 1 Chronicles, how David prayed. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 17. Now David is coming to an end of his life, or near his life, he's nearly finished his life's journey, and his son is about to take over, Solomon. And it says in verse 10, 1 Chronicles 29, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and thy power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to make strength unto all. Now therefore, Lord our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store what we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. And as for me and thy uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now I have I seen with joy the people who are present here to offer willingly unto thee." So what is the main thought in this portion here? Well, first of all, David recognizes how great God is. In verse 11, "O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory." God is the greatness and the power and the glory, and the victory and the majesty. "And thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Do we recognize that how great our God is? And then he goes on to say in verse 12, "Both riches and honor come of thee, thou reignest over all." Everything that we have on this earth here, everything that is in our hands, come from God. "In thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." If it wasn't for God, let me just ask this. If it wasn't for God, where do we think we would be? I know there's probably secular people who would say, "Oh, no, that's not the way it is. I have worked for these things. I have done this. My hands have done this." Now, when God withholds his blessing, how quickly do things crumble? I'm just reminded when we were with the grade 11s on the VCA missions trip in BC, and we went to all these different soup kitchens and so forth, and we had the opportunity to talk to these different men, and in some cases it was women as well, but I happened to talk to this one man, and asking him different things, and of course, I did ask him how he got there, how come he was at the soup kitchen. And he was very willing to share his story. And I'm grateful for it that he did. He simply said, I had a great business going for me in the oil industry. And when I was at the top of my ladder, 135 men underneath me, my wife divorced me. And from there, it was a downhill slide, he said, till I had absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Today, I'm here in this kitchen. I have nothing. I don't have a home. I don't have a car. I just barely have clothes on my back. You see, when God withdraws his hand, how quickly things fall apart. When we stop realizing that everything we have and we get into our hands is from God, and that God does provide these things, and we start saying, this is mine, I own this, I am the doer of this, God very quickly can withdraw his blessings, and he will very often withdraw them. Therefore, God, we thank thee when we recognize how great and mighty our God is. We could add to these verses the words of the doxology that we often sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. All our blessings come from our Almighty God. So how often do we pray to our God? We've heard pray without ceasing. We've heard praying 7 times. We've heard praying 3 times. And I think if I was to ask the question and we were in small groups, we'd probably have numerous different opinions coming up how often we're ready to pray. But let's keep it simple this morning. How often should we pray? I think praying and praise and thanksgiving ought to always be on the back of our mind. There's always something that we can be praising God for and thanking God for. As we go through the day, there's always things happening every day that we can praise God for. What is your prayer in the morning when you get up? Thank you, God, for giving us this new day. Thank you, God, for giving us this bright day again, this beautiful day. Every morning, that is part of my prayer, actually, every morning. Thank you, Father, for a new day. Thank you, Father, for a fresh day. Thanksgiving and praise should always be on our minds. In all things, give thanks. Is it easy? Not always. No. Sometimes we find it difficult. But is it that something that God requires of us? I believe he does. He does ask us to bring him praise and thanks. As Psalm 146:2 says, while I live, will I praise the Lord? I will sing praise unto my God while I have any being. Does that include me? Does that include you? Yes, I believe it does. As long as I have my being, I am to praise God and to thank him. I believe God is most pleased with us when we are praising and thanking him. Are there religions? Are there people? Are there folk who don't believe in thanksgiving and praise to somebody who's out there in the heavens someplace perhaps? Or to thank somebody who's a supernatural being? out there in the middle of nowhere? Yes, there is those kind of people. There's those kind of people who will never praise a God. About 15 years ago, somehow I still had this in my file, Thanksgiving file. There was a write-up about a mosque in a certain city in Canada, and I have it on file which city it was, but I won't mention it. This mosque was saying, if you follow the teachings of Islam, you should not be celebrating Thanksgiving as the Christians do, and giving thanks to God. We are not that kind of people. We do not do what the Christians do. We do not do what the Christians do. If you go back to Luke chapters 17, a very familiar story. In 12 through 19, Luke chapter 17, 12 through 19. It's about the 10 lepers. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, what did he do? He just told them to do something. Go shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as he went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This is a wonderful story. 10 men are healed. On the other hand, a sad story. Only one comes back to give thanks. May it not be us that forget to give thanks for the wonderful things God has done for us. And we may probably say, well, I've never really been healed. Oh, really? How many times have you been healed from the flu? How many times have you been healed from the cold? Were you healed from the COVID? Have you thanked God? All these things, we sometimes forget about these little things that God is actually healing us. That God is still a miracle-working man, a miracle-working God, blessing us and healing us. And how many other little things and scrapes and bangs and bruises have you been healed from? And do you remember to thank God for them? Do you thank God for the most difficult situations that you've been in? In Acts chapter 16, we have the story of Paul and Silas in 26 through 29. It says in 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, what? There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and every man's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We are all here. Paul and Silas, being chained up, no place to go, couldn't go no places, probably just laying on planks for bed. And what do they start doing at midnight? they start singing praises to God. And God heard them. Let me ask you this morning, what do you do at midnight, or be at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. when you cannot sleep? Are you counting sheep? Is your mind just boggled with business? Or do you start praising and thanking God for the past things of life? Or whatever's happening, are you praying to God about different things? I know this weekend is Thanksgiving weekend. And it's not just this morning or this afternoon that we pray to God and bring Him praise and thanks. But it's a reminder this weekend. I think as a church and as for church people, this should be a reminder to us how we ought to be praising and thanking God for the days ahead, in the days ahead. And I fully realize we have many different mindsets here this morning. I also realize that some of us are more conscious of the clouds than the blue skies, more conscious of darkness than light, more conscious of the bad things around us than the good. And too many times, perhaps, we're too focused on the negative things that surround us, the difficulties, the disadvantages, the doom and gloom of life. But you know, let me just tell you this morning, let's quit adding together all our difficulties and the doom and the glooms that we have, and all the disadvantages that we have. Let us start counting the mercies of God. How great and how mighty our God is. And what He has done for us. Not just today or yesterday or this past week. How about whatever age you're at today, all those past years, how has He looked after you? How has He protected you? How perhaps has there been guardian angels around you? And He's spared you from different challenges. Last Sunday, as we heard the testimonies of Abe Weeb and Sasha, who is from Ukraine, didn't that bring to you a heart of thanks for what we have in this land, this country, and how blessed we are? Look at their life's journey. We have a lot to be thankful for. But how easily do we sometimes forget? So what is the best that we can do? And what should we be doing? Let's remember. Let me go to Psalm 73 in closing. We have the story of Asaph there. And Asaph is looking around him in Psalm 73. Asaph is looking around him, and he becomes nearly envious of the things that are happening around him in the world and the challenges that he's facing. And I could read most of that chapter. But he sees how the ungodly are perhaps prospering in the world. They're increasing in riches. And then he says in verse 13, "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and I washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until, in verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, I understood their end. Yes, we may see the world, we think it's just flowing on by, and they're having a great time. The rich are getting richer and getting mightier and more powerful. And yet, when we look carefully, do we see their end? What their end really is all about? Their end is doom and gloom. So Asaph made up his mind he would follow God. Then I go back to Psalm 37 to connect with that chapter. It says in verse 1, Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Listen carefully, verse 2. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Then verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verily thou shalt be fed. Let's go to verse 16, that same chapter. "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Isn't that beautiful? He will uphold the righteous, upright, and their inheritance will be what? That beautiful eternal home in heaven. And let me finish with Psalm 23, one verse there. Sorry, two verses maybe. "Thou preparest the table before me. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord Almighty God prepares the table for us. We celebrated communion last weekend or last Sunday. Maybe some did Monday. And again, we were told the story of what cost Christ to save us. And what a blessing it is that Christ, as I said earlier, has pulled us out of the miry pit, of the miry clay and the miry pit. And God keeps preparing the table before us. Even with the world around us that doesn't like Christianity and doesn't seem to like Christianity, we still can have church services. We can still have open doors. And we can still be praising God in these buildings in this country. How we ought to thank our God. And if we keep following our Lord and our God and praising and thanking Him, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that a lot to be thankful for? Are you thankful this morning? Are you praising God? May this morning be a reminder to each one of us. And may it be encouragement to each one of us that we be praising and thanking God. Start in the morning. I know the alarm bell goes early for lots of you. You got to rush off to work. But as you roll out of bed, put your feet on the floor, be reminded to thank God first thing in the morning. May that be my encouragement to you. Let us pray. Father God, we're so grateful today. We thank you so much, Father, for what you've all done for us. You've pulled us out of that horrible pit, that miry clay. And it cost you all, Lord Jesus Christ. It cost your life. It cost you a broken body. It cost you the shedding of blood to wash away our sins. We thank you so much for that, Father. Thank you, Father, for this land and this country. Yes, we are so disappointed sometimes with our government, the way things are going. But Father, we just want to leave that in your hands. And we want to thank you this morning that we do have this freedom, that we were protected again this morning from the onslaught of darkness, that we could have freedom of worship and fellowship. Thank you, Father, for the blessings you have bestowed upon this country in work, for all those that need jobs. Thank you, Father, you have given crops to the farmers again, that they can sell, they can produce milk, they can produce meat, produce eggs, or whatever it may be, Father. Or for the gardeners to put vegetables on the tables. And for those who produce turkeys, and how many of them will be eating this weekend. We just thank you for all those things, Father, and many more. Thank you, Father, for the health that you have given so many of us, the strength you have given so many of us. Yet we do pray for healing for those who need healing today, like Dave and Tina, like Dave, who's just had eye surgery, and we pray, God, that you would just heal him in a most profound way. Pray, God, for those who are cancer stricken. Father, you know about each one that has cancer or other health issues. For all those who have had and have broken bones at this point in time, and there's still healing needed, I pray, God, you undertake for those healings as well. We praise you, God, for that you are the mighty healer. You're the all-powerful healer, and that you still do heal to this very day. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done and are doing. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You see God that way, that he's so good to me. I have to say, God is good. God is good to me. God has been good to me. Thank you for being here this morning, and may we be encouraged to be thankful, to praise God. May we be encouraged to start that first thing in the morning, and the rest of the day will take care of itself. God will remind you when to be thankful. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You dismiss me. The grace of God go with each one of you. Have a blessed Thanksgiving and a happy Thanksgiving.